What is up, my fellow side hustlers? This is your friend and host, Ryan Helms. I want to welcome you to the Hustle to Freedom podcast. Every week, I bring you interviews with everyday people who are creating extraordinary side hustles, and this week is no different. If you're looking to take your side hustle to the next level as well, you need to check out the Side Hustle Journal. It's the only journal on the market focused on helping side hustlers like you expedite the process of starting and growing a profitable business in your spare time, no matter how busy life may be. And for a limited time, I'm giving away a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal to anyone who leaves a review on the podcast. All you need to do is leave a review, take a screenshot, and send me an email to hello@gritandhustle.co. That's hello@gritandhustle.co. I'll send you the link to pick up your free copy. All you need to do is cover shipping. Now, let's jump into this episode with Mark B, aka the Side Hustle Mentor. Mark shares how he got started in the side hustle world in everything from publishing his own children's book series to creating apps to most recently focusing on affiliate marketing, which is bringing him in a few extra $1,000 per month. Let's don't waste any more time and jump into this chat now.
For about the last 7 years or so, you know, I've been kind of like dealing in the online space, just looking for, you know, different opportunities for, you know, financial independence or time freedom independence or whatnot. I come traditionally from a very, very poor family. I'm from Flint, Michigan, and I moved to Atlanta, Georgia about 10 or 11 years ago. And my goals when I first moved down here was, you know, like most people, the American dream. You know, you go to college for a couple of years, you work 20, 30, 50 years, hoping for a retirement that may or may not be there when you get there. But at some point, when I first moved down here, I was kind of networking a little bit, meeting other folks that, you know, had nice cars, nice houses, but none of them actually had full-time jobs. Most of them were just, you know, doing different things online. And that's all I knew at that point, just different things online. So that kind of got opened me up to the opportunity or the ability that I could actually make money online too. What am I missing? Mm-hmm. And since those last 7 years, I've been, you know, kind of seeking in different opportunities to say, what am I missing? How can I get to that next level? And over the last couple of years, I've definitely had a nice amount of success. And so now my goal is to kind of teach other people as well to kind of how to enable themselves to make extra money. You know, it may not necessarily be retirement money, but it could be extra money that you could just need to, you know, pay a bill or take a vacation and things of that nature.
So when you lived in Flint, Michigan, and probably just like everybody listening, the only reason I know about Flint, Michigan is because of all the stuff that has been going on up there. I think it's still going on.
It's still going on.
And it's just kind of like phased out of the news at this point. But would you say when you lived up there that you didn't even know these other opportunities were out there?
No, not really at all. I mean, I knew that there was a tech wave coming on. You know, I'm always been a techie person. So like when my first degree I got was an associate's degree in computer networking. And then my instructor at the time would always tell me that there's going to be so many technical advancements in the future, but you just didn't know what they were at the time. You just knew that, you know, tech was kind of that field to kind of get into. So that's where I kind of like spearheaded my interest in tech. But now as I've gotten older and I see how tech is changing the world, I'm not trying to necessarily work in tech as far as I'm trying to actually control tech.
Yeah.
And be on the controlling side of it.
Yeah. Leverage the technology to get things done.
Exactly.
So why are you, you've got all this stuff going on with work. Before we got started here, you were telling me a little bit about, you know, what you do for work, being a team lead and having other people and other responsibilities and things like that. So with all this other stuff going on in life, like why, what motivates you to keep going and spend all the time and effort on these side hustles?
Well, I feel that there's so much more out there for us. You know, sometimes you drive, you sit in work or you sit in traffic and you're just looking around and you think, is this going to be my life for the next 40 years? Sitting in traffic, cussing at the road rage and things of that nature. Or do you want to really feel like you can actually kind of take control of your destiny? And you see other entrepreneurs around you doing the same thing from very minor ideas. Why can't you have a piece of that pie as well? So that really kind of drives that fire that I have. And then when I first got started online, it's interesting. My first thing wasn't even a tech venture, really. I actually got started online by writing a kids book series. So back in like 2013, 2014, I wrote a kids book series. And that was really my first entrepreneurial thing that I actually did online. And I did have quite a bit of success with it. But it's like they say, once you make that first dollar online, it's hard to stop.
Let's jump back to that. Like what made you write a kids book series? Do you have kids?
I don't.
So what made you write a kids book series?
Well, I have three younger brothers that are feel like kids sometimes. Yeah. One of them is actually his birthday today, 18 years old. So that makes me feel older just saying that. But at the same time, I think it goes back to my childhood too. I was always kind of like what they call like the smart solo child. You know, I just kind of always read my books, was maybe sometimes looked at as the teacher's pet. And I also experienced a level of bullying as well. Not necessarily like the worst bullying that you could see, but still just, you know, kids will be kids, kind of roughing up type of things of that nature. So I kind of had all these stories in my head from just different experiences that I went through as a kid or some of my friends went through. And I always liked to write because I was a reader as well. Mm-hmm. So one day I was just sitting at home and just had this idea that came in my head, and it was centered around childhood bullying. But then I added like some fantasy aspects to it and made the children's, not necessarily kids in like a normal setting, but they were like monster kids, which kind of like dealt with race relations, you know, so you might have vampires and werewolves and ghosts all going to the same school, kind of similar to kind of mirror what you would have in maybe like a public school system. And that's kind of where that idea came from. And then I wrote the first book and then the second book and then eventually finished up the third book.
Was this a physical book or was this just digital? Or
it was physical. Okay. Actually, no, sorry. I took that back. It was physical, but it initially began as a digital book. Okay. That was around the time when I first started hearing about Amazon Kindle and the Kindle platform. So that was really my first forte into kind of publishing. I did it as a Kindle book. And then Amazon also had another platform that they released a little bit later called CreateSpace. And with CreateSpace, you could basically turn your Kindle book into a physical book, and Amazon would print it for you and handle all the logistics and everything.
Would you mind sharing like how successful that was? Like, and also like how long did it take you to write those?
The success, you know, the success was great because when I first released it, I was making, you know, $500 a month from sales. Cause you know, at the time there wasn't really too many things out there like it. And at that time, I really didn't know that much about marketing. So I really felt like if I knew what I knew about marketing now, I could probably have had even more success then. But you know, so that was probably some good ranges of payments that I had, but also at the same time, I want to say it took me about a month or two to write the first book because I didn't really know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And for some people, they may say that's good. but for me, I didn't really know what I was doing. But, you know, I just, you know, went online and then I just kind of did different readings on, you know, how to put a story together, you know, and then it just kind of started with an outline. And then I filled in some of the blanks. And then I also wanted to some nice cover art as well. You know, I didn't want to mirror like a Disney or anything, but I didn't want it just to be a story. So I actually wrote down descriptions of every single child or monster character that I created and aligned them with a personality. And so then I actually found a local artist in Atlanta, and I just gave her these descriptions that I had in my head. And she went to work and she made these characters come to life. You know, she drew each one of them in a very distinct manner and created the cover. So then I had the book and then the cover. And it was both was kind of happening at the simultaneous the time. So I was able to release in about 2 months total.
That's pretty awesome. And yeah, I think there's a lot of people that don't even know about tools and platforms. There's a lot of them out there, but like you mentioned, CreateSpace being one to where like you create the digital version of it, and then they'll just print off as they get ordered, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like you're paying to store a bunch of inventory. It's as they get ordered, they're printing them off and shipping them for you.
Yep. And that's the thing. Most people are just not aware that you can really, you don't have to have a big publishing house publish your book for you. You can self-publish. And you can have a digital version that really costs you nothing to make, if other than maybe the book cover and if you need some help with writing. But in the physical version, the same thing, you know, Amazon pretty much, how they have CreateSpace, they kind of take out all the risks for you. So you just pretty much just print on demand. So if one order comes in, one book is printed, I don't have to order 100 books and having them sitting around my house hoping they sell. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of risk out of it for me.
So you did the kids book. You had a little bit of success with that. Based on conversations we have and a little bit I know about you, I know you've had a lot of other endeavors as well. What was next after the kids books?
What was next after the kids books was actually a mobile app that I released. And it was, I think it was maybe a 4 or 5 of them that I did. And even with these mobile apps, I didn't have to create them from scratch. There's different websites that you can go to, and you can actually get website source code templates for different apps.
Can you explain, for this case, I want to act like I'm smarter than I am. What do you mean by source codes templates?
Source code template is just, say, for instance, if there's a popular game out. At the time, there's a game called like Flappy Bird or whatnot. Yeah. You have people that will make clones of the code that allowed that particular Flappy Bird to be created. And then you can use that same code and find a designer who will just maybe change out the aspects of the game. So you can basically rebrand it as your own game, mm-hmm. in a sense. So, and usually you just make minor updates to just the graphics. Most of the gameplay, all that is similar from the source code that you bought it from.
So what did you leverage this strategy of with the source code? How did you implement that? What type of apps did you release?
At the time, I was still on the Monsters phase because my kids book series was called Monster Kids Academy. So I was doing a lot of stuff with monsters back then. So the first thing I did was a thing called Monster Trivia, which where I bought source code for a trivia based app that all you had to do from that point is just change out the graphics and also come up with your own questions for the trivia. So that's what I did. I just kind of went through some of my favorite horror movies and or sci-fi movies and created all these trivia questions. And then I had a designer go out and actually kind of come up with just like characters that you would see on the screen. And then from there, I just had another person actually do the updates to the source code and then just published it on like the Android and the Apple Store.
So was that something that you were able to monetize, or was this just kind of like a passion project?
It was mostly just a passion project.
Okay.
Yeah, because the app was actually free. So I didn't even charge for the app. There was some gamification, as they call it, in the app where you can go in and you can buy coins and things of that nature. But for the most part, that really was just kind of like a passion project. Yeah. I was just kind of like at that point in kind of like a learning phase just to see what things I could really do, mm-hmm. at my skill set. And I constantly mentioned I had this person help me and that person help me and that person help me. And that's because also at that same time is when I started learning about outsourcing, mm-hmm. where if I didn't have a skill set, I wasn't a graphic designer. I could go out and hire someone for a very affordable rate and do these tasks that I need them to do. So at that point, I was almost kind of like a project manager. It's like I kind of knew what I needed to be done, and then I just have to go out and find people.
How did you find these people?
At the time, I was using a website called Upwork.com. And with Upwork.com, I think I just happened to come across it. It was recommended to me in probably like an online forum or something like that. And then from there, I've just never went back. Upwork.com is probably one of my most visited websites to this day, because I'm constantly going out and needing new things to be done in some of my businesses. And if it's something that I don't have the skill set for, or if I just don't have the time to do it, I'll just hire someone out to do that task for me.
Yeah. I've used Upwork as well, and it's a super valuable tool for getting things done, quality. I know one of the things that I struggle with personally is trying to do everything. And whereas I can probably do everything okay, right? But I can't do these certain areas great. And a lot of times you need those all the aspects to be great, not just okay. And I think that's awesome way to utilize Upwork. It's focus on what you're good at and what you're not. Let somebody that is handle that.
Yes. And I'll definitely say this for people who will be listening and will say, okay, some of this sounds cool and all. You definitely don't want to wait too long till you get to that point to where you start outsourcing for things. Because I do feel like for some of the years of my life, I was in my own way because I was trying to do things, everything myself. And most of these things I could do, or some of them that I was competent at and maybe just not great at. But things started getting a lot better once I just started taking myself out of my own way and allowing other people to help me out in the business. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that's very cool. So the first app, didn't you say there was others?
Yes.
Yeah. So what was after that?
Another one I did was another passion project as well. It was called The Running Dead Zombies with Sneakers. And, you know, it was kind of like a spinoff of The Walking Dead, but it was The Running Dead and zombies with sneakers on. And it was a fast paced zombie type game. And it was another passion project. And then at that same time, I was learning a little bit more about internet marketing as well. So, because at this point, I was just looking at all the technology stuff I can do. I really wasn't figuring out how I was actually going to market this stuff and make money. I just like, oh, this is so cool. I can do it. And then so then I started looking at the marketing aspect. So the first thing I started learning was like YouTube. So I created like a YouTube channel for like all my monster stuff that I was doing. And it's actually still going to this day. It has about 5,000 subscribers or so. So I was using YouTube to kind of push out some of that stuff that I was doing, where I would create videos related to some of the things that I was doing. And then I would drop links in the description to kind of get traffic to different places and things of that nature.
Yeah. So were these videos that were like recordings of yourself talking about these different things, or how did you do that?
They were just like, I was doing like compilation type videos. Okay. So say for instance, one would be like my top 10 horror movies or things of that nature, or, you know, top 10 movie soundtracks, you know, just people like lists and things. Yeah. I was learning as I was kind of getting my marketing chops together. So I was trying to put out different types of videos that I knew people would like. So like one of my most popular videos on my channel right now has over 1 million views, and it's a very small video, but it's a video that people like in that particular fan base. And, you know, to this day, it's been growing the channels by leaps and bounds, and I haven't even probably posted a video in probably like 2 years now, but it still has been growing and bounds with followers.
Yeah, that's cool. So what have you, it sounds like transitioning more towards learning about marketing and things like that, and trying to figure out how you can maybe make some more money off these passion projects and things like that. So what were you doing to start learning about marketing?
With marketing, I would say my very biggest jump came in life, I would say, when I found out about this website called Udemy. And with Udemy, it's gotten a lot bigger now, but it's a website that you can go to, almost kind of like a lynda.com, and you can take courses on different skills that you need. And the very first course that I took, it was a course in Adobe Photoshop. It was like an Adobe Suite Masterclass. So it was this guy, and he had like 20 different classes on all these different Adobe products like Photoshop and Dreamweaver. So I watched them all. And then, so that helped me learn a lot about graphic design, things of that nature. And then I started taking a few different marketing classes, you know, learning the marketing basics, things of that nature. So then I started kind of bridging some of the tech world that I was doing with some of the marketing things as well.
And where did that lead you to next, once you were able to start combining these different skill sets that you learned? What was the next venture?
It was leading me from that point to learning about affiliate marketing, which I am still in right now to this day. And I feel that it's one of the best ways for people who are looking to kind of grow some income to get into. And affiliate marketing, and for lack of better terms, is basically just getting paid to sell other people's stuff. So say, for instance, you know, you have, you know, company A, and I really like company A. They'll pay me if they have an affiliate program to refer their products to other people. So that's really where I was kind of getting into from that standpoint. I was learning about affiliate marketing and, you know, how people were making tons of money and tons of opportunities, and they didn't even have products. You know, they were just basically like an elite glorified middleman, for lack of better terms, where, you know, you have a company with a solution and you have a person with a problem, and you're just bringing those two people together and you're receiving a handsome commission, usually pretty handsome commission, depending on what company that you're working with.
So how did you find these companies? So if somebody was out there and was like, oh, that sounds super interested, like what were the steps you went through to kind of find these companies that would pay you for helping to sell their product?
Usually at that point, I was just kind of using Google, you know, top 10 affiliate programs, things of that nature. At the time, most people were using Amazon, though. Amazon was what most people who were getting into affiliate marketing were just kind of knew of, because Amazon was becoming such a big name at the time. And it was really easy to sign up and use Amazon. So I did the Amazon thing for a couple of years, where I would just build sites dedicated just to Amazon products. Like, it might be a site just for blenders, and it would be a review site about nothing with blenders. And then if people would buy from the links based on the description and reviews that I did, I would get some of that income from Amazon.
So you would just go out there, create a website focused on a very specific niche topic, such as blender reviews. And if people click that link, it takes them to Amazon. And if they purchase something on Amazon, you get a commission for that percentage.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And also, if they purchase other items from anytime they click on your Amazon link, and even if they purchase other items, it's not even the blender, it'll still get credited back to you because you sent the traffic to Amazon's website. So it can definitely turn into a snowball effect depending on, you know, what people buy or whatnot. But that's really kind of where it began with the affiliate marketing things. And then I kind of got out of affiliated marketing for products or physical products. And now I'm looking at more for sort of affiliate marketing for like digital products, courses and trainings and things of that nature.
Yeah. So what, any companies specifically that you're trying to work with now, that in are you picking these companies because like you use their products and you like them? Do you like how would you recommend people go and figure out who maybe they would want to be an affiliate for?
I would say definitely you would usually always want to be for an affiliate for a product that you have used yourself and that you can vouch for and feel good about. My first couple of years in affiliate marketing, I didn't do that, and I didn't have most of the success that I probably should have had, because you're promoting products to people that you really haven't used yourself. So you're thinking more of in a sales mindset. But if there's a product that you have used yourself, you vouch for it, it's not even a sale at that point. It's almost like a recommendation to a good friend of yours. So it almost becomes effortlessly to refer that to someone else. Mm-hmm. So right now, primarily, I promote ClickFunnels as an affiliate program. And ClickFunnels is an automated sales builder, whereas instead of using something like WordPress to build your websites, you can use ClickFunnels to build your website or your entire sales flow process. And the reason why I chose them is because, it's a product that I use every single day now. It's actually probably one of my favorite tools to use online. And then B, they have a very lucrative affiliate commission plan. With Amazon, most of the times, and in a lot of things in affiliate marketing, you're usually selling something that's only a single sale. You know, if I sell a vacuum, that's a one-time sale. I'll have to keep selling vacuums over and over again to keep making money. But with something like ClickFunnels, their affiliate commission plan is recurring based. So, and then they also have a great platform. So I'm usually pretty comfortable that if somebody who is interested in building their own brand or something, they want to use ClickFunnels, then they're probably not going to cancel their subscription, because it's almost like a utility bill for something like ClickFunnels. Mm-hmm. It's something that you just need every day to build your business. And then you get 40% commissions off that for life, for as long as that person uses the software. So,
and ClickFunnels isn't cheap. So 40%.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it can definitely add up. So I've only been, and even with ClickFunnels, it's a new promotion for me. I've been using it. I mean, promoted as an affiliate for maybe about a month now, and I've already grown it up to about $2,000 in recurring income.
Nice.
Because I'm mostly focusing on people who actually get value out of the higher plan, which is $297, versus the lower plan, which is $97. Because there is a lot of value with that plan, and people try it and they usually don't stop using it. So I feel good about referring it to them. They feel good about the software they have, and then I get paid for it.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, if you're good at something, you should never do it for free. And that's why I like affiliate marketing so much, because I do feel like there's a definite value exchange there.
Yeah. So How are you getting these people to sign up for, in this case, the ClickFunnels affiliate? Like, how are you, for lack of a better words, convincing them to sign up for this?
Well, I actually don't even want to say that I'm convincing them. I usually promote, I promote this. I try to give them an offer they can't refuse. Mm-hmm. You know, usually whenever I promote something as an affiliate, and this is something I've learned across the years as well, is usually I don't just try to promote the product or service. I also try to bundle it with some bonuses as well, so they can get the most out of it. So I'll say, hey, you can use ClickFunnels. I'm going to give you, with ClickFunnels, you can, you know, you build funnels, but you can also share funnels as well. So I'm saying, hey, I'm going to build a funnel and I'm going to give it to you. You can have it for free. And if you want to keep it, all you need to do is sign up for ClickFunnels for a 2-week trial. And then if you enjoy the service going forward, then you keep it. And then you still have this great funnel that I gave you that's probably worth, you know, $500 to $1,000 of that funnel. And then also I may bundle it as well with some courses that I've maybe have created, or just some, you know, tips and trips or cheat sheets and things of that nature, just to more making me more of a value added referral. Yeah.
And are you doing this to like an email list, or how are you getting the word out to these people?
Pretty much it? Most. So there's a definitely a lot of different channels to focus on online. I primarily now are focus heavily on email marketing. Just because with email marketing, I feel that email is still a very, very good channel for marketing, and because it's such an intimate marketing channel, you know, it's coming directly to your phone. Usually when you're looking at it, no one's around it. So whatever thoughts come to your mind, it's just you and your email. So it's just a little bit more of an intimate connection versus me trying to sell it up to somebody on Facebook or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So primarily through email, but also I use my Instagram channel a lot now too, because it's over the last couple of months. I have been doing affiliate marketing over the last couple of years. I am transitioning now to more so being an affiliate marketing mentor and coach. Mm-hmm. So that's why I've been brand building now. Over the last couple of years, I was really kind of like the behind the scenes affiliate, making a lot of money, but I really wasn't putting myself out there.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, let me kind of put myself out there a little bit more and, you know, kind of expose this strategy and these tactics that I have to other people. So I've been using Instagram primarily as my channel for that.
Has that been a struggle to put yourself out there as that expert and not just be behind the scenes?
It has been, because even over the course of my life, I've always been, you know, I don't want to say shy, but kind of to myself, you know, and I've had a lot of quiet successes that have just been to myself as well. So it's definitely a different frame of mind, kind of putting yourself out there, recording yourself. But I'll have to say that the benefits that you get with that, and just the feeling of joy that you get from that, are unlike something that I probably didn't imagine. Because now that I'm putting myself out there more, you know, I'm in Facebook groups and people have questions about things like affiliate marketing or just how to, you know, start their own side hustle. I'm answering those questions. People are sending your friends requests, and then you just see some of the responses that people give you for things that I might have taken for granted. You know, $100 extra a month. Okay, I did that. I take it for granted. But for somebody who's never done it before, and just to see the look, or the thank you, or just a feeling of gratitude that they have, it's a great feeling. So it makes those doubts about putting yourself out there go less and less the more you do it.
Yeah, I can attest it is a great feeling once you can help someone out. I know for myself, doing, I often try to just do quick 15-minute video chats with people just to kind of help spark ideas in their head and get some of the thoughts out. Just basically let them talk out the answer themselves and just kind of throw these little key questions in there to have themselves answer their own question. And you know, when you get off the chat with these people and they're like, oh, this is exactly what I needed. Like, I'm ready now. I'm about to take action. It is a great feeling. So I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it is. It just feels like you make it like, okay, this is what I was doing this for.
Yep.
And then I just totally changes my perspective again, because then I was like, okay, I do enjoy affiliate marketing, but I'm really, really enjoying the mentoring and the coaching aspects of it as well.
Yeah.
So it's almost like blending the both worlds. Like, I can still do affiliate marketing and coaching at the same time, but it's almost like, you know, I'm learning by doing as well, and then kind of sharing that knowledge with other people. So that's really what my whole brand building has become over the last 6 months or so, is, you know, I put a website out there. I have some basic courses. I'm filling up the blog on different articles about how to, you know, start your side hustles, different avenues that you can do. You know, you got affiliate marketing, you got things like e-commerce where you can build your own stores. You got the Amazon Kindle approach. So it's basically me taking a collection of all these experiences that I've had and just putting them into tactical steps that people can use to kind of do this, basically do the same thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, we've went from the beginning to the end, and we've covered, you've been in a lot of different areas and different types of side hustles. So along that journey, what's been one of your biggest struggles, whether it be like balancing life and the side hustles or learning certain things or certain defeats? What's been that biggest struggle for you?
The biggest struggle for me, and I think a lot of people can attest to this, is just focus. And a lot of people will call this the shiny object syndrome. Because usually, like most people, they are looking for another stream of income a lot of times because they don't like their day jobs. And because of you, it's almost like an escape mentality. When you're trying to escape from something, you kind of grasp at whatever is available. And so over the course of the years, I was kind of doing the same thing. I was kind of grasping here, and then sometimes doing like three or four of these things at the same time and not having focus. And I can tell you that once I started developing the skill of focus, and I'm only going to work on this one thing and then I'm going to outsource the rest, things go through the roof from there.
Yeah.
But it's really identifying that you have a focus problem because you're constantly in escape mode mentally. So that's probably the biggest challenge I think I'd say that I have.
Yeah, I can, you know, the focus is so key. And, you know, I struggle with this to this day. I mean, I've got so many ideas in my head, and a lot of them that I think are legitimately great ideas, but I know if I go down a path and start pursuing it, I only have so many hours in the day. So it's either, if I pursue this, then I'm going to have two projects that are essentially half-ass, right? Because you can't put full effort and have a day job and be in a relationship and juggle life and all this stuff. You only have so much effort that you can put in. So I think, you know, that's common for a lot of people, is just to bounce all over the place and try to manage too many things at once. So great advice there.
Yep. And then I guess if I just have to add a secondary mention, is the other problem is just that not knowing what's out there that you can use to enable these side hustles. So say, for instance, you know, I talked about outsourcing and we talked about Upwork and, you know, me hiring graphic designers. But for someone who has no skill sets and they have no idea that any of this is out there, that can be a challenge because they'll never get started. So that's one of the biggest things that I really want to do for my brand building, is just, I want to expose you to the things that can enable you to even do things. Mm-hmm. And then from there, that idea or that root idea of really what you want to do may come to fruition once you actually see that, wow, I could just hire a designer for this for a very affordable rate. And it may just change your whole perspective about, you know, starting your own business and get rid of the myth that you don't have enough time.
Yeah, I know. I had a big epiphany probably about 3 or 4 months ago now. I went to a little mastermind meetup here in Atlanta, and I just met about probably 10 or 20 people that were making between $50,000 and $100,000 a month, and whether they be SaaS products, so software as a service products, physical products, coaching, affiliates. I mean, I met a guy that had just won a Corvette from ClickFunnels.
Yeah.
And, you know, just all awesome stuff. I mean, he was 20, 22 years old and making, I think he was making like $20,000 a month and just won a 2018 Corvette. So, I mean, the opportunities are endless. But the reason I brought that up, it's because even though I understood the possibilities, like just meeting those people and seeing that they're just everyday regular people like you and I, it's like eye opening. Like, man, there's so much money in the world, and there's so many ways to make it in a ethical way that you can legitimately help people and change their life. And just seeing these people that were doing these different things, it was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I had a similar epiphany as well. And I think it kind of goes back to almost the same thing about networking. I went to not necessarily a mastermind, but a Tony Robbins business conference last year. And I felt like that was an epiphany for me as well to start getting out of that shell of just only focusing on myself. You know, I got to be around a lot of people and who were doing some great things. And from there, that's why I was like, okay, I got to start networking more. And since I came back from that conference, that's all I've been doing now is just networking, networking, networking. You know, someone told me there is that your network is your net worth, yeah. You know, and I mean, that's never been as true as I, you know, ever thought it could be, because once I started actually networking to people, it's like money's just coming out of the air. People either want to pay for coaching or they want me to create products so I can sell it to them. But you know, you never really know what's out there or what people need until you put yourself out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something I wish I would have focused on more sooner, was the networking piece of it. And just, cause you never know who knows who, and, or just what they know, how they may be able to help you. I mean, it's crazy how much just meeting someone can impact certain things. For example, when I launched my Kickstarter, and I've mentioned this on another podcast, I met a guy here in Atlanta, had lunch with him. He sent out one tweet and it drew like $2,500 to my Kickstarter campaign. All I did was have lunch with the guy, but I didn't know at the time he had 40,000 followers on Twitter. And also, I didn't know that Twitter was still used like that. Oh,
wow. Yeah, that is one I haven't used as Twitter, I can say still. Yeah.
So, but it's just like, it just took me like finding the guy on Google and reaching out to him. And that was all it took. Network.
Yeah. I mean, even like I just recently met someone in a Facebook group, and we're going to be meeting up next week to talk about some local based marketing, you know, and, you know, I never would have met this person otherwise if I wasn't in these groups. Networking, you know, and just answering questions, yep. Exchanging value, you know, and it's just about, you know, once you exchange your mindset of always going for the sale to providing genuine value, when you provide genuine value, the money's always going to come back to you, you know, but when you're always kind of like seeking the next sale, you're always kind of behind the curve.
Yep. Yeah. So, that's great, great words of advice that I'm trying to take myself and just focus on value versus money, because I'm confident that the money will come, like you said, once you provide the value. So that's advice that I'm going to be taking myself as well.
As you said, there is a lot of ethical ways out there that you can make money. And usually it always centers around just starting with value. Yeah. And, you know, it took myself a lot of years to learn that as well, you know, but I can see how fast things have been moving just in the last couple of months since I adopted that methodology. And I don't see any signs of it slowing down.
Yeah. So. Yep. Yeah, that's awesome. So do you have any words of advice for people that may be out there listening that are, you know, maybe sitting in traffic cussing at the road, like you were saying, and, you know, really just struggling and wanting to get started with something? Any advice on how to start, where to start, what to do, anything?
Well, definitely. I think for me, the epiphany is that not just with networking, but finding a mentor. Or finding someone that you can kind of align yourself with. And then just kind of like from there, you can kind of get exposed to different, you know, skill sets or, you know, different things that are out there that you can kind of necessarily do to kind of make some passive income. And it might not start at, you know, like $2,000 a month. You know, it might start at, you know, $10 a month or $50 a month. But once you start growing that up, and you'll see that that's money that you're basically making away from the time that you're spending to, you'll keep at it. My number one advice is just to find a mentor. And you know, you can find mentors anywhere on the world, obviously. A shameless plug to myself, you could obviously check out sidehustlementor.com, because I have a lot of free courses there and a lot of free getting started type of guides for someone that has zero level experience, that just to, from there you can just kind of get exposed to just the basics of marketing and some of the different ways that you can do to make extra income. And other things I would suggest to people as well is, you know, just kind of, you know, join different Facebook groups that are related to different things that you think you may be interested in. If you're looking to start maybe like your own clothing store, you know, there's probably Facebooks out, the groups out there for stuff like that. And you'll find a lot of like-minded people. And then once you start bouncing these ideas off of people, you'll become like a sponge And then, you know, you'll just kind of start having that fire burning from there, and you won't be able to stop it.
So what you're telling me is a mentor doesn't have to be someone that's in person, that you're lives down the street and that you can meet up with every Tuesday.
No, I don't. Like, and even myself, I have a mentor, you know, and a coach. You know, anyone can kind of have that task. It's just someone obviously that has a little bit more knowledge than you actually have yourself. But it can be anyone in the world. You know, the guy that I'm going to be speaking to later doesn't live in Atlanta. You know, he lives in a totally different state. And, you know, with the technology these days, you can hop on a Skype call or a Zoom call, and you can have these conversations with people in live time and, you know, get any type of mentoring or knowledge that you need. Some is obviously going to be free. Some may be paid, depending on what you're looking for. But you got to go out there and find it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So I appreciate you swinging by to chat. And I know we mentioned the Side Hustle Mentor. Is that the best place for people to reach out and connect with you?
Yeah. Usually for me, it's going to be sidehustlementor.com or primarily probably my Instagram page, instagram.com/sidehustlementor. I do have a Facebook page as well. And so I can be found on there. It's facebook.com/sidehustlementor. So those are usually my three major properties that you can get in contact with me and just start a conversation. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, after a few questions, we can probably figure out something that, you know, kind of aligns to what you really want to do. That way you can at least kind of start it out and see how it feels for you. And then just kind of grow from there and take baby steps.
Cool, man. Again, I appreciate you swinging by and look forward to see what happens with the Side Hustle Mentor going forward.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Cool.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
All right.
Boom. And that's a wrap. If you didn't already have an idea for a side hustle, you should be able to get rolling after all the ideas that Mark shared in that episode. This is a testament to how important consistency is. You may not find that $1 million idea right out the gate, but I think we could all use a few extra $1,000 per month, right? You can find more information and the links to all we discussed at bit.ly/hustletofreedom. That's bit.ly/hustletofreedom. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.